Good morning, church. Welcome. I'm glad that you are gathered today for worship. And for all of you who are joining us by live stream, we welcome you. We're glad to be connected with you as we enter into this time together. I'm Rockford Johnson. It's a joy to serve along with you as senior pastor here with so many gifted and talented leaders. And today, our youth leaders, many of our youth leading us in so many ways. It's a great day to be together. Let's remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ushers are passing the connection pads. Please leave us your name and information and let others around you know who you are. And if you're worshiping online, then please go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, virtual worship page, and let us know that you're connected with us. We appreciate that. Please also leave us your prayer requests. You can do that with the cards that are in the pew racks or also on the front page of our website if you're at home today. If you're a first-time guest with us, we welcome you, and we would love for you to complete a welcome card if you would like to and leave it with one of the greeters at either door when you exit. They'll be glad to give you a gift bag as a token of our appreciation and thanks for your presence with us today. Also, let us know how we can pray with you. We have cards in the pew racks for that, and also there's a button on the front page of our website so that you can send us your prayer requests and celebrations, and we can celebrate and pray along with your concerns. Advent season is coming very quickly now, and on next Sunday, 3 p.m., we have the annual Advent Festival, and we'll actually be inside this year. And so if you're comfortable with that, come and be a part of the music and the crafts and the family and the church time all together. It'll be wonderful. On our website, there's an Advent Hub that lets you see all the things that are happening, all the events this year. And what a year to come home, to come back, to be here live for Candlelight Carol and all the Sundays of Advent. And what? Just imagine what it would be like if you make every Sunday that you're in town in worship for Advent leading up to Christmas Eve, how that can enrich our lives together and enrich the lives of our children and each other. I invite you to do that this year. So today is Youth Sunday, and our postlude will include one of our youth on the trumpet. So I invite you to begin to think now that if you usually exit during the postlude, that you might just stay and be a part of that ending of our worship today as we're sent out in that way. And we're beginning worship today with the piano solo, O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Thank you. Amen. Church, let's stand. Turn in our hymnals to hymn number 694. Let's stand. Come, ye thankful people, come.
Join me in the affirmation of faith that is found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Bell Choir. We appreciate your ministry. It was beautiful. And now we turn to a time of dedication for our acolytes. Acolytes, if you'll come down to the front right now, come join us. A little bit about this program. We have been, this morning, dedicating our fifth and sixth graders, you can just line up right over here, as acolytes for this school year. The ladies handing these crosses out train and coordinate this program each year. Polly Oliver is assisted by Charis Freeman and Carol Fain. And we are all blessed by your ministries, ladies. Thank you so much. In our worship service each Sunday, the service doesn't begin until the acolytes come down the aisle bringing in the light of Christ. They light the altar candles, and for us, the symbolism is that Jesus Christ is present with us in worship, ready to receive our worship and our praise. They also assist the ministers every time we have a baptism with the waters of baptism. And finally, at the end of our service, the acolytes come and take the light of Christ back onto their candlelighters, walk up the aisle and out of the sanctuary. Again, the symbolism here for us is that we follow the light of Christ out into the world to serve and to share his love and his light with others during the week. So, It's an important ministry. And acolytes, we thank you for your service and thank you for carrying the light of Christ for all of us. So if you just want to scoot down a little bit and turn around and kneel, Pastor Rockford will give his blessing.
Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for these, your children, your servants, your leaders in the church. We thank you for all the ways that we enjoy light, the sunlight that warms our earth and our lives, the moonlight and its beauty and its glow, the starlight that dazzles us when we see it in the darkness of night. We thank you for the headlights on our cars that help us to find our way, and the lights in our homes where we read and eat and fellowship with family. We thank you for every light that comes down from above, and most of all, the light of Christ in our lives, the light that we experience when we come together for worship. And I pray your blessings upon these, your servants, as they lead us, as they represent us as bearers of the light, both coming to worship and going to serve. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Thank you for serving.
Good morning, McFarland. It's good to see you all this morning, and it's another wonderful morning for us to be in worship together. And as we do many Sundays, I just want to invite you into a moment of just breathing in, soaking in the holiness of the sanctuary, of the acts of worship, whether it be through bells or our choir, who will sing an anthem here in a little bit, through Avalyn on the piano, through Raleigh later in his postlude during the trumpet postlude, and when Megan and Lee come up to give their sermons. One of the special things about Youth Sunday, especially here in this place, in my 8 years of doing youth ministry here at McFarland, I have found that this is one of my favorite Sundays. And what you all do as a congregation when you open up the pulpit, and I know our youth, they lead in many different ways from Sunday to Sunday, but on Youth Sunday, when you open up the pulpit, the chancel, the bell tables, the piano, this stage, this sanctuary, that you all reaffirm to them that their voice, their testimony, their witness, their service, that everything they do here in the life of the church, it matters. So as they come up and they share with you all, I know that you all will be touched in a very holy way, as I was this morning when I got to hear them speak, and as I'm sure you will as well. As we get ready to enter into that time, I would invite you to pray with me. God, we thank you for this morning in which we get to come and pour out our praises of thankfulness and of worship to you. God, we as a congregation are striving to live in a more perfect accordance with your Spirit. God, here in this sanctuary, God, here in this church, but God, outside of this church and in the world. So God, I pray for the words and the music and the joyful noises that are made today, that it may penetrate our hearts in a way that we feel compelled to leave this place and to go share your message of goodness and of love to all that we come into contact with. God, we try so hard to continue to live in that light. And God, I am thankful for our acolytes who show us the way out with that light, how to harbor that light and to go and not just contain it to ourselves, but to share it to those who need it most in this world. God, I'm thankful for this congregation and how we as a body of Christ lift up our youth, exalting them, saying, look, you all have prominence. You all serve in a way that matters, that makes a difference. God, as we go out into the world harboring that light, God, sometimes we need to rest upon a scripture or prayers. And God, during this time, we remember the prayer that your Son gave to us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Church.
Church, let's stand and turn in the faith we sing to 2036. Let's sing Give Thanks.
I want to give thanks for two of the persons who lead our youth ministry in such a wonderful way, for Austin Leverifon as our youth director, and for Joshua Chisholm, our music director for youth choirs. We appreciate both of you and what you do to lead our youth and the way the youth are leading us today. Thank you for your service and ministry. Last Sunday, I was in the youth Sunday school class, and some weeks before that, I was in the rehearsal for the chapel choir. And, I see these youth who are gifted and talented and smart and capable in so many ways. But even beyond being all of those things, they are persons, they are children of God. And they're among us and with us and leading us and serving among us. And I give thanks for them today. And I know that you do as well. And when you give every week or every month, you're helping to support ministry so that we can do these kinds of things. We can enter into ministry in lives that are young and that enrich us in very real ways. And if you haven't made your annual commitment, we want to remind you that you can do that with this card, or you can do it online, or you can contact us, because we want to be responsible about our budgeting for next year so that we can do all these wonderful ministries. And you help us be responsible by making those promises and pledges. And we appreciate that very much. May God put to good effect all that we give for the ministry, for the mission, for the glory of God. You may be seated. Thank you.
first scripture reading is found in Philippians 4:6. Hear these words. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Our second scripture reading is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 through 22. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not desire the words of the prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Annalie Johnson. I'm a senior at Norman North. I've gone to this church since I was born. I was baptized here. I had confirmation here, even though it didn't turn out very well. I passed out in the middle of it. Both of my brothers went here. I've been on almost a dozen mission trips, spring break and summer. I'm hopefully going to be a team leader this year on spring break. Today, I'll be talking about 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the word of prophets, but test everything, but hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. This scripture has 3 points on how we should live out our Christian walk and faith. Those 3 points are that we should rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. When I hear this scripture, it makes me think of me moving. A couple of years ago, I moved to the Netherlands. This is probably one of the toughest things I've had to do in my whole life. Just having to leave everything behind. My house, my cat, my friends, my soccer team, my church, and so much more. I remember my last mission trip before I left. Scott told us to go and talk to God about anything that was a weight on our shoulders. I ended up crying so hard, not understanding why God wanted me to leave. So some of the questions I had were, why me? Why would you pick me out of everyone? What was so special about me? What was I meant to do there? While I was crying, everyone was asking me what was wrong. I didn't want to talk about it because I thought no one would understand. But someone did understand me, and that was God, and I just needed to talk to him. Let's say I didn't live by those 3 points. When we do live by these guidelines, they affect our life. We can feel confused and uncertain at times, but find joy through the things that are most certain to us. When things are hard, look at the good things and be thankful for them. Some of the challenges I had in school was that I moved to an IB school, which is a step above AP, unless you take honors, which is 2 steps above AP. It was difficult because the year I moved, which was my sophomore year, was the year that they graduated. I went from a freshman to a senior really quick. This was a difficult level change, a lot of late nights, and my parents helping me with papers. But I did graduate. I got into 2 schools after I graduated. Another challenge was soccer. You'd think that soccer is big over in the Netherlands because their women's team was in the finals of the Women's World Cup, but it isn't. Girls that are really good play on boys' teams until about 15. So moving at 16 was kind of hard to find a team that was good and close. I did end up finding a team, but they didn't speak much English. So it was pretty hard. I did make some pretty good friends. So when the team did break up at the end of the year, they asked me if I wanted to move to another team with them. The second team I played on was such an amazing team. And luckily, one of them spoke perfect English because she went to college in the US. I did get to see her in Tennessee since I've been back. Being open to being on different teams led me to meeting so many new people that make me smile. This whole adventure was really hard. I kept asking myself why God put me through this, Why did he pick me to give up everything? But what I didn't know is he's creating a new path for me that I just didn't see yet. In verse 21, it says, "But test everything. Hold fast to what is good." To me, this means whatever God throws at you, you should try. Even if you don't think you'll like it, and maybe you don't, but at least you'll have the experience. Moving to the Netherlands was a big change. A different language, a different school, different people. But in the end of those 2 years, I had moved schools twice, soccer teams twice, and those are some of the best memories I have. I have made such lifelong friends from all over the world. None of that would have happened if I didn't embrace this adventure and change. Thankfulness is just a perspective. Just have the lens of thankfulness. I chose to be thankful for my friends that I made, for soccer, and the accomplishments in school. Moving to Amsterdam was not the only challenge I had with moving. It was also COVID. Another way I bet a lot of us strayed from God's path was during COVID. I will say I did. When COVID hit, I had just moved to the Netherlands. We didn't have much time to find a church, so I strayed from God's path that he wanted me to. But COVID was also a good thing for me. Because of social media, I was able to talk to my friends in the Netherlands and here while I was stuck in quarantine. I helped my friends through some tough situations all through social media. I got to help people through God, telling them that there will be obstacles that will make you try and stray and will challenge your faith, but you need to keep strong. Even though I wasn't going to church, I was still spreading his word. In COVID, I also got a lot closer with my parents, probably because we all shared one bathroom. But I was more open with my parents about what was going on, and they helped me a lot. Like my mom said, "Annalie, I'm so glad you didn't go through the stage of hating your parents." Looking at COVID and being stuck in quarantine, you just need to have the right mindset, to have the right perspective. Like in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. When you think of the future, just know God always provides a way. If it is important to have God in your life, you will always find a way. God will find a way for you and others to spread his word. Being thankful is a choice. We get to choose if we wake up with a thankful heart. Embrace life with that kind of view. It is the amazing things that God can provide through our thankfulness. For me, it was my adventure to Amsterdam. If I never said yes to my parents, I would never have had the experience to learn and grow so much. Our next call to be thankful could be tomorrow or next week. We need to keep the right mindset that God will choose the right path for us and to always be thankful for things that happen. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak for you all today. My name is Meg Kimmett, and I'm a senior at Norman North High School. I have grown up at McFarland and even was selected to give a sermon last year, but unfortunately had to give it to a camera instead of a congregation. It is a joy and a blessing to be able to speak for you all today. Anxiety, a word that is used frequently to describe feelings of fear, dread, or uneasiness. We have all found ourselves facing some form of anxiety at one time or another. These are common ways to feel when starting a new conversation, a new Netflix series, or even a new chapter in your life. I want everyone to take a moment and picture what makes you the most anxious. Anxiety is a very personal affair, and it affects everyone differently. For me, my anxiety affects my motivation. Whenever I get super anxious about something, I either completely shut down or I turn all of my motivation onto something rather unimportant. For you, it might be that you go on a shopping spree or even leave town for a weekend, but whatever it may be, it is truly a way of coping with the anxiety that you live with. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." There's a tendency to look at this verse and be fearful after reading the first few words. Do not be anxious. Well, that's nearly impossible, isn't it? If there are any parents here today, I would like you to raise your hand. All right, lots of parents. When your child comes to you and says, "Don't freak out, but," what is the first thing you do? Most likely it's freak out. Perfectly natural reaction, and one I'm sure you have all faced. We are about to enter into a very eventful holiday, Thanksgiving. Not stressful at all, right? You sit back, relax, talk to friends, family, watch some football. If this is what your house looks like on Thanksgiving, I would love an invitation. All jokes aside, this is a time of foreseen chaos. Whether you are the one working all day to create this massive feast, or you're welcoming an insane amount of family into your home, you are bound to face anxiety. To not be anxious is almost like trying to fight against basic human nature. We all face some form of anxiety in everyday life, even though some of us try to hide it in order to appear stronger. Unfortunately, we cannot hide these feelings from God. Our scripture reads, "Do not be anxious, but in every situation," wow, listen to that one more time, "in every situation," not occasionally, not just on the weekends, but "in every situation, answer anxiety with prayer." You know, there is something so powerful when you think about the weight each word holds in scripture. When you think of the word thankful, most of your minds will go straight to the positive aspects of your life, and for good reason. For most of us, it is easy to be thankful for our friends, our family, a place to live, a hot meal, but it is much harder to thank God for the less than positive parts. For example, how can we be thankful for something like sickness or death? This will be the first holiday season my family is celebrating without my papa. And when reading this verse, I kept thinking, how am I to speak to you today about being thankful for everything in every situation when I am struggling to do that in my own life? Just when anxiety tries to rob me of my thankful spirit, the scripture goes on to say, "By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Our call as Christians is to live continuously in a spirit of thankfulness. This doesn't mean that we won't face anxiety or that we should ignore it. It means that our response to anxiety is critical. If we submit everything in prayer and petition to God, then we rest assured He hears us and will be with us through our seasons of anxiety. We don't always know how God will respond to prayers, but we know they do not fall on deaf ears, and that our God is a good God who will respond in His own perfect way. Sometimes His perfect is not one we are always seeking. Thankfully, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 tells us, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So first, God tells us not to be anxious, and now He doesn't want to worry about what comes next? Outrageous, right? I'm going to start at the end of this verse. "Each day has enough trouble of its own." You know what? Matthew, you hit the nail right on the head with that one. Every day we face something that causes stress or worry. Every day we live with something in the back of our minds that just causes your heart to beat a little faster. For me, this is the thought of college. As I said earlier, I'm in my senior year of high school, and that means I have a pretty big decision coming up, and coming up quickly. It is hard to enjoy every moment of my last year in high school when I'm constantly looking at what comes next. Which is why the first part of this verse says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." Let me tell you, that is easier said than done. I have been preparing basically my whole life to apply to college and choose where will be the best fit for me and choose classes that are going to benefit me most in my last semester, and now that that time is here, I find myself lost. This is why I chose these verses. Matthew's words weigh so heavy on me. To repeat Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I love that it says tomorrow will worry about itself. God knows that we are going to stress and worry and feed into our anxieties, so he simply wants us to take it one day at a time. And when that gets hard, that's when it's best to turn to prayer. Life will be more than we can handle on our own at times, so instead of trying to lone wolf it, invite God to see you through your seasons of anxiety and lean upon this community of faith when life is just too much. It is also why Thanksgiving happens to be one of my favorite times of year, because it is ultimately a time for peace and gathering and a healthy amount of chaos. I plan to apply these teachings in Philippians and Matthew to my last year in high school by not taking any moment for granted. I want to challenge you all to think about how you will learn to be thankful, not necessarily for every situation, but thankful for our God who sees us through every situation when we invite him into our lives. And lastly, I want to thank you all for continuing to believe and support our youth program, to thank the clergy for sharing the pulpit with me today, and to thank all of McFarland for being my church through every season of anxiety. Thank you for being here this morning.
Amen. Church, let's stand, turn in our hymnals to 170. Let's sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus."
It's been so good to be together, to connect with you who are on live stream worship today, and with all of our youth. Come ahead, acolytes. We appreciate you. We have new acolytes among us as well, doing a wonderful job. I think it's good for us today to give our thanks Godward as we give thanks to all of our students and youth and all who lead them. We can do that tangibly with applause and push that Godward as well. Thank you all. Thank you for your leadership. And now may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace in believing that hope may abound in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.